In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Christ is among us.
He is among us.
The pattern, descent and ascent, describes really all of what could be depicted as the drama of salvation history, descent and ascent. God moving out of himself, and then God going back into himself. And in the big picture, as God moves out of himself and then moves back, he's bringing with him all of his creation. And this has been particularly an emphasis since the ascension in these last 10 days, where now human nature is drawn up into, and God, well, God's descent in the incarnation, now in the ascension, God draws up into his very divine life human nature. He glorifies it. And thus we have the famous, familiar, well-known expression from the second letter of St. Peter, that we have now become partakers of the divine nature, a true longing in the human heart. If you doubt that, look into the whole New Age movement. Look into the whole movement of the Eastern, Far Eastern religions. They're all about this, how to become spiritual. But they're filled with idolatry. So lies, because they're trying to do it through creation. They do it apart from Christ. But inherent in their heart, inherent in so many people, and there's so many in our culture today who've gotten involved with the transcendental movements, these Eastern movements, and they're talking about chakras and energies and crystals. What is underneath all that is the longing of the human heart for the divine. But they're finding it in the wrong way. Christ did it for us. He's the one who led the way. He is the one who is the way, as he tells us in John's Gospel. At that moment when the Lord takes into divine life human nature, what began as I preached at the Ascension is the river of life began to flow forth out of the life of the Trinity into the world. A new fountain springing out of the ground, out of a tomb. But this water flowing out of the tomb does not bring death. No, this new water is bringing life. And this flowing of the water continues in every work of the liturgy. This is the heart of the liturgy. Out of the liturgy flows the rivers of life. The river of that water that the Samaritan woman was longing to finally find and finally have her thirst quenched. This water, as you drink of it, you are participating in the Passover, the true Passover, the true passage from death into life, and what the Lord says, life in abundance. And today is the culmination. Well, today and tomorrow is the culmination of all this. For us as Easterners, it's not one day. Properly speaking, today we have set out the icon of the Trinity. It's also called the Hospitality of Abraham. Because today we finally see revealed fully the work of the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you look in your Malachite calendars in the Eastern Church, Monday is called Monday of the Holy Spirit. That's actually the day we would concentrate more like on the Holy Spirit coming. But today is the revelation of the three persons of the Trinity. We see them, and the apostles, when they go out and preach, they're making this known. That's why if you did any of Orthros today, you would have, or you heard it today, in Stikra 4 and 5, the divine praises, it stated so beautifully. Today in the city of David, all the nations witnessed marvels when the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles in the form of fiery tongues. As Luke reported under God's inspiration, and we quote Luke, while the disciples of Christ were all together, there came a sound from heaven as a violent wind blowing, And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And listen to here. This is, and they began to speak in foreign tongues, as of some strange new beliefs and strange new teachings concerning the Holy Spirit. That's why today is called, in a way, Trinity Sunday. It's Pentecost, but it's Trinity Sunday, because today, through the preaching of the holy apostles, we now understand by revelation there are three persons in one God. And this was there in the Old Testament. There are many, many minor Pentecosts, but there's something very new and unique about this Pentecost, as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. Today was a new beginning. It really was a new beginning. On this particular Pentecost, some 2,000 years ago, the Father poured out through His Son the Spirit. And this Spirit, this gift, the second greatest gift God the Father has given to the world, the first, the Son, the second greatest gift that the Father has given to the world is the Spirit. And what is the Spirit of the Father through the Son doing? He's recapitulating. That is, He's reuniting all things in the new creation, the refashioned creation, Jesus the Christ, who redeemed human nature. And through the new Adam now, we can participate in our destiny, our original vocation, which is to be participants in the life of God. We received this, the gift, when we are all gathered in note in one place. In one place. Unity. It was the 11 apostles. It was Theotokos. It was these other disciples, as we were told, who in these early days, after 10 days, 10 days later, while they were in the city of Jerusalem, the holy city, sealed up in a tomb. They were sealed up in the upper room. And while they were there, sealed in this tomb, what were they doing? With one accord. Note the word, one accord. Unity. They devoted themselves to prayer together with the women and many others of the brethren. The apostles, they were simple men. They were uneducated men. And yet these men left everything to follow Jesus the Christ. But they were also cowardly men, as we saw at the time of Holy Week. These are also men who deserted Him. And these are men who denied Him. But these men had undergone a 3-year preparation. During those 3 years, they saw, they heard, and they touched the Word of God. They touched the Tree of Life. These chosen men, chosen by the divine sheer grace of God, were forgiven much. And in the last 40 days, while their hearts were slow to believe, while they made little progress as students of the Master, what happens? The ascension comes. If you want, if you ever looked at that, if you read carefully the icon of the ascension, what do you see? Confusion. Chaos. These men are filled with fear. And yet, through their confusion, through their fear, they were obedient. There the angels are in that icon telling them with their raised hands, go back to Jerusalem. And they did, hoping against hope, knowing that something was going to happen. They didn't understand what. They didn't understand how this was going to be. But they went back to Jerusalem and they sealed themselves up in the tomb and they waited. The tomb of the upper room, and they waited. And suddenly the Spirit of God, the gift of the Father, through this gift of His Son, invades that tomb and fills that tomb up. These men and women were no longer a group of believers with expectations and hopes. They were no longer that. On this day, some 2,000 years ago, that room of believers became, they were transformed. They were transformed into a communion. On that day, those men and women were made into the church, meaning they were made participants in the first church, the life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. On this day, some 2,000 years ago, these cowards, these uneducated men, became theologians. They went from being disciples now to true apostles. Men and women sent out to proclaim about God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These men and women who were poor people became rich in God. These men and women were transformed radically. The word radically, erotics, at the very root and core of their being. They were changed. This day they became divinized. They truly became partakers in the new creation. Indeed, today's Pentecost then is unique from all the other Pentecosts of the Old Testament. Today was really a new beginning. The Holy Spirit took a little remnant of poor men and women and he transformed them into the church, members of the risen body of Christ, and thus now participants in divine nature. The mission of the Spirit is one: to give life to human beings by bringing people into the body of Christ, the one who trampled death upon death. Within the body of Christ, the church, you and I, we're able to see, we're able to hear, and we're able to touch the word of life and the tree of life. The church, therefore, is neither a human construct, and it's not an institution that was established by human beings, where some people someday, maybe 2,000 or 1,500 years ago, decided to meet and say, we're going to start a church. And then decided, and this is what we're going to believe in this church. And then we're going to have this kind of liturgy for our church. And we're going to establish this hierarchy over to govern our church. That's a human institution, begun and ended with human ingenuity. That's not the church. Rather, the church is a people who've been filled with the risen Lord, roused in faith in their hearts, and they're drawn into a body called God's body. And God gives the liturgy. God gives the faith. God gives the governance. It already began in the Old Testament. And through this participation, we become sharers in the Trinitarian life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. On this unique Pentecost, some 2,000 years ago, quote, the genuine and real dwelling of God among men began. End of quote. Note, today began the genuine and real dwelling of God among men. In the Old Testament, whenever God came to visit his people, he was always in shadows and prototypes. He was never the reality. On this Pentecost, all those shadows, all those images, all those prototypes were realized and became a reality. God truly dwells in his people. And we truly dwell in God. We are all Theotokos, which literally means not mother of God. Theotokos means literally a God bearer. So in the Old Testament, they saw the shadows and the cloud of God coming down. God does not come down in us in a cloud. God comes down into us and he draws us up into his life. So what does this tell us? As we see in the Creed, where we say every liturgy, the church and the Spirit are inseparable. That's why they're so close together in the Creed. You cannot have the Spirit without the church, and you cannot have the church without the Spirit. Just as you cannot have the church without Christ, nor can you have Christ without the church. They are inseparable. And the vital source of the church, the vital source of this communion is the liturgy. The liturgy gives existence and life to the church, those of us on earth. And the liturgy is what increases the membership of the church. Without the liturgy, the church on earth dies, because we no longer live on and in the tree of life. We are no longer drinking from the river of life himself. Understanding this profound integration of Christ, Holy Spirit, church, and liturgy, it's integrated. You can't separate them. A highly revered 20th century Melkite priest, Father Jean Corbon, who was actually the writer of the fourth part of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, one day he wrote in one of his works these words, and I will quote, I will end the homily with these profound words about the relationship of Christ, Holy Spirit, church, and liturgy. Quote, "In the church, our humanity, the humanity of the incarnate Word and the Spirit, are inseparably united. That is the power of liturgy. The church on earth, therefore, is the human face of the heavenly liturgy." Think about that. What we're doing right now is the human face of what is going on in heaven. The liturgy is the power of the liturgy is the transforming presence of the heavenly liturgy in our present time. End of quote. A blessed feast to each and every one of you as we've come to the culmination of now everything we've been celebrating since December 25th. Christ is among us. Yes, Lord.